Good morning, James River Church.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for saying good morning back. I know by faith you're all saying, I love you too, Autumn. I love you too. I do. Oh. Well, I'm excited for this morning's message. The Lord gave it to me in a dream, told me to preach on it. And so I have a lot of faith that He's going to use it. It's going to be great for you guys. It's going to bless you guys. This is the first time I've ever preached on this subject, actually, ever. I think a full message on it. But we're gonna talk today about opening up God's gift boxes to you. The Lord has some gifts that He has given the church, and many of us don't even realize we have a gift from the Lord. It's totally, completely unopened, like right in front of you. Completely wrapped up in the most beautiful paper with a big bow on front, on the top of it, and somehow you've went your whole Christian life without opening it. It's exciting to open gifts, isn't it? I love opening gifts. You know, at Christmas time, we gave our boys a new bunk bed. They really needed a bunk bed. They needed a new bed in their room, and we had a new little member to our family this last year, and so, you know, we needed a bunk bed, and so we didn't tell them we were getting it. But, you know, a bunk bed comes in a really huge box. And so we had this huge box completely wrapped up in the middle of our family room, like stepping over it, stepping on top of it, like walking around it for I don't know how long until Christmas morning when we opened that thing. There was so much anticipation. What was in the box? I mean, it was big. It was rectangular. They thought maybe trampoline. That would have been a good one, too. You know, maybe a bed, maybe, you know, I don't know. They had some different ideas. We wouldn't even put the name of whose gift it was because we thought it would just give too many hints. It's fun to give gifts. It's fun to receive gifts. And there's something about the anticipation of what might be in that box, right? Of what might be in that sack. The most special gift I've ever received in my life came in a little itty-bitty jewelry box. It was dark, like emerald green jewelry box. And it was inside another box that was also inside of a little gift bag. And when I took it out of the gift bag and opened the like beautiful box and then opened up the jewelry box, there was my wedding ring given to me by my husband. You know what? My one and only. It would have been so sad had I just said, oh, a gift. I don't know what it is, but I probably don't even need it. To this day, my most precious, honestly, probably my most my precious possession, not relationship or person, my most precious possession is my wedding ring. You know, some people, you know, on their 20th or their 30th or the 40th, they just can't wait to get a new wedding ring, you know, like, and my mom has had 3-4 wedding rings. I think she loves getting new rings, new wedding rings or whatever, new sets. I'm like, not me. I got one ring and I love it. I want it forever. This is my ring. This is the one given to me by my one and only. And I love it. It was one of the most precious, it was the most precious gift. And it came in the sweetest little box. The Lord has given to His church special gifts. He calls them the gifts of the Spirit, gifts from the Holy Spirit. And they're very precious, and they're handpicked for you from your Father. Think about that. Every believer, true born-again believer in Christ, has been given at least one, and maybe many more, but at least one spiritual gift. And so we're going to look at that this morning because I actually had this dream several weeks ago. I had a dream that it was in the season of quarantine. That's what season we're in. We know that, right? That's why I'm preaching to a mainly empty room. We're in a season of quarantine in the dream, and we were doing online services. And during the online services, people began to just stream into the building. It's a prophetic dream. It's for people coming into God's church is what the Lord is speaking about. Because obviously we have the doors locked. No one's streaming in here. But people are streaming in, literally streaming through the YouTube channel. But they are streaming into the kingdom. And that's what the dream was saying. Like the Lord was literally saying, I am building my family. Amen. During the season of quarantine. When it should be the hardest, when it's like social distancing. I didn't even know that phrase existed prior to 2 months ago. Seriously, it's like a new made-up phrase as far as I'm concerned. Social distancing, like what in the world is that? We all know it now. Oh, we all know what social distancing is now. We're experiencing it. But in the season of quarantine, in the season of social distancing, the Lord was using our online service, certainly, but all the online services. I mean, there are so many thousands upon thousands of amazing churches that maybe weren't even preaching the gospel online before that are now. The word of God is going forth. It's going forth. It's going forth. And in this dream, there were so many people responding. And I looked out at all these new people and I was like, oh my goodness, there are so many. And it was like first service. And then there was another service. And there was like twice to three times more new people in the next service. And I looked out and I knew by the Spirit, this is what the main part of the dream was about. They must be activated. This is what the Lord said in the dream. They must be activated in spiritual gifts so they can care for each other. Interesting. Do you know that it is not the sole responsibility of the pastor of a church to care for everybody in their church? It's impossible. We'd have to keep our churches like 10 people. Jesus, who was perfect, could handle 12, right? I mean, he could care for, which I think is a miracle. Has anyone had 12 best friends before? I mean, there's a few people out there, but I mean, how can we maintain 12 best friends? You know, living, they were like living together, traveling together. I mean, what Jesus was accomplishing was amazing in discipling these 12 people. And then he had some bigger crowds that he would like kind of crowd disciple, you know, the 72 and the 120 and the larger crowds. But it's not the responsibility of one pastor to care for all the needs of all the people. It's impossible. Now, the pastor, the leader of the church, leaders of the church need to provide good leadership and hold up a godly standard. And there's all kinds of directional things that they are given by God to do. But it is the people who care for the people. You're given spiritual gifts for a reason. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. And that's three chapters, obviously. We're not even going to get to read it all because it's so much. But we're going to reference this. I encourage you on your own to study some of the major gifts of the Spirit passages in the Bible, which would be 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. Now, there's other passages where different gifts are maybe mentioned, but those three passages of the Bible speak the most about spiritual gifts that God gives to his church. And so we're just going to dive right into this. We're going to get into right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. What are spiritual gifts? I'm going to read it to you in a little bit. But C. Peter Wagner says this, and I think he has a really good definition of actually of spiritual gifts. We've been having for some months, our leadership team has been going through a book on spiritual gifts by C. Peter Wagner. Called, what's the book called, Jeff? Your Spiritual Gifts, maybe? It's a very practical title. It's a really short little book, about $10, cheap, practical, short. I recommend you get it if you want to go deeper in this, which I recommend you go deeper in this. So see, Peter Wagner's definition of a spiritual gift is this. A spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ, according to God's grace, for use within the context of the body. I think that's pretty good. It's a special gift given by the Holy Spirit. Why? To bless the body of Christ. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. If you're at home, well, wherever you're at, if you have the ability to grab your Bible, I recommend that you open your Bible and read along with me. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different kinds of ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. So what does it say? There are many different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the Holy Spirit is the source of them all. There's different kinds of service. In other words, there's different ways to put your spiritual gifts to work, different ministries you could be doing, but it is the Lord that is the one directing it all. Verse 6, God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. I just want to go through a couple, like, just fun facts straight out of that before I read on. First of all, who gives the spiritual gifts? God. God alone. No person can give you a spiritual gift. No person can lay hands on you and say, now you receive prophecy. Now, I think that we can see by the Spirit when the Lord wants to give someone a gift, and we can come alongside that person and say, I really feel like I am discerning that the Holy Spirit wants to give you the gift of prophecy. Let me pray with you. I'm going to pray in agreement right now for this gift to be activated in your life. I think that's what happened to Timothy when Paul said, stir up the gift of God that was given to you by the laying on of hands. Many people think that was actually the gift of evangelist. Because Paul tells him to do the work of an evangelist. And so, you know, I think that the elders that were sending Timothy out could clearly see, Timothy, God has given you the gift of evangelist, or he's wanting to give you right now the gift of evangelist. And so they came along, laid their hands on him and said, we agree in Jesus' name for this gift of evangelism to come forth from his life. And so, but it is clearly the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts. We don't get to choose. We would mess this thing up so bad. God is so wise. He knows who needs what. And guess what? He will not give you all the gifts. Guaranteed. You will never have all the gifts because he wants you to need each other. He wants you to want to work alongside others who have different gifts than you. This is just how the body of Christ is. We're going to see it in just a little while as we keep reading. So, who has this gift? Verse 7 says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us, period. Well, actually, it's not period. That's half the sentence. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Every single believer has been given a spiritual gift. Now, you may be saying, I have no idea what my spiritual gift is. That's okay. It's okay for now because that's a starting point, but you were given one nonetheless. Now, why were you given a spiritual gift? We can just read on in that sentence to know why. You were given a spiritual gift so you can help each other. I love how this one, 1 Corinthians 12:7 in the New King James says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, your gift wasn't given to you for you, really, at all. It was given to you so that you would have something to bless God's people with. For the benefit of the church, you were given a gift. Oh, God is so good. Let me keep reading here. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. See how we said it's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts? It's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I need a podium that's like 3 feet wide so I can fit all my stuff on it. I'm seriously missing my... I'm going to put a chair up here. Oh, yeah, that would be even better. Yes, yes, yay. Chad's a genius. Oh, Chad actually has the gift of helps. He really does. And look, he's helping me again. We just did this study on our leadership team, and I loved seeing and hearing. Actually, this is good. I think you're going to barricade me in here. Yay, this is beautiful, actually. Perfect. I got my Bible right here, my notes in front of me. So what are spiritual gifts? Because I think there's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ about what spiritual gifts are. You know, you may have a fantastic personality. Definitely, you know, people who can make conversation easy, have that gift of gab. That's really a talent. And it is certainly can be used by God. But do you know, personality, it isn't actually a spiritual gift. There's no like, oh, God gave me the spiritual gift of a good personality. May God bless you all with a good personality. It's not actually a spiritual gift, though. Now, is it something that is given to you by the Lord that can bring glory to Jesus? Of course it is, but it's not a spiritual gift. We need to know what the gifts of the Spirit are. I'm going to give you another example of a great talent that some people have. Some people are very mechanically inclined, right? And they're just fantastic at working with their hands, and they make the most dynamic and amazing mechanics. Diesel mechanic, or a car mechanic, or a carpenter. And it's really a talent. Not everybody has it. Not everybody has that talent. Some people hate working with their hands. They detest having to work with tools or to try to take a car apart. So that's really a talent. However, it is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. There is no gift of the Holy Spirit called car mechanic. You have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit called working with your hands. That's not a gift of the Spirit. Now, is it, you're made in the image of God. Is it valuable? Is it amazing? Is it part of how you're reflecting God's glory by how you're using the talent he's given you for his glory and for your income and for the provision of your family? Absolutely. Some of you are fantastic with numbers. You just have a mind for finance. You have a mind for math. But there is not a gift of the Holy Spirit called mathematics. If there was, I definitely got left out when that one was given. It's just not a gift. It's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, is it a talent? And yes, but you know what? You can look across our city, you can find atheists, and you can find Christians that are both really good at math, right? And that may be a talent, like a aspect of their being that is a reflection of the glory of God, a sweetness that God has given them, whether they're Christian or whether they're not Christian. Each person alive on the face of the earth has things they're good at, things they're bad at. Only born-again believers have a gift from the Holy Spirit. And that gift is for a certain purpose. It's for building up the church. That's why those gifts aren't given to people who don't have the Holy Spirit. Their assignment, they're not even in the kingdom. They're not thinking about building up the church, right? But when they become born again, as soon as they're born again, the Holy Spirit gives them at least one gift. I think the church in general is so ignorant about spiritual gifts, we're not even ever thinking about this. Well, I want to give you, I'm just going to list 23 gifts that we find in the Bible. Gifts of the Spirit found in the Word. Now, I think there may be more than this. There are several more that I think I could have listed, but I was not 100% sure that they are really gifts from the Holy Spirit, or that they may be just different aspects of a gift that I'm already going to name. And so I'm going to name these. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you feel like I left something out, I'll give it to you. It may be there. But let's have something to start with, right? I want to just list 23 absolutely positively, we know, gifts that are found in the Bible. And you may have, well, at least one. You do have at least one of these. So these lists come from Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and Ephesians 4. There may be another one of these that come from like a 1 Peter scripture, the hospitality one. Okay, so here's some gifts. If you're taking notes, the gift of prophecy, the gift of service, the gift of teaching. My husband has an amazing teaching gift. The gift of exhortation or encouragement. The gift of giving. Yes, there is a gift called giving. I love it. There's a gift of the Spirit called leadership. Mercy. Wisdom. Knowledge. There's the gift of faith. The gift of healings. And the gift of miracles. Two different gifts. Healing and miracles. That's interesting to me because they both kind of sound miraculous, right? But I think there's a difference between, you know, someone just being healed and then there being, sometimes there's a miracle, like a creative miracle that takes place, or a miracle in nature. The discerning of spirits is a gift. The gift of tongues. And they're speaking about the gift of the public gift of tongues. I think that I might, did you change out the batteries before service? Okay, keeps cutting out, so I thought maybe the batteries are running out of my mic. So there's the gift of tongues. This would be a, this is a gift used for a more public setting or, you know, small group setting where there's an actual, like, a prophetic word given through another language. And then another gift is interpretation of tongues to be able to discern what that is. There's the gift of the apostle, the gift of helps. I love the gift of helps and the gift of service. Let me just stop right there. You know, two people in our church that have that gift is Stan Wallman and Dave Schultz. And many of you may know that Dave and Stan are actually deacons at our church, and they're deacons over our building, actually. They take care of the building and do maintenance on the building. And honestly, there are so many times I come and something has been done, I never asked for it to be done. They just have the gift of helps, the gift of service. They can see what needs to be done, and they just want to get in there and do it. Stan just loves it when I let him haul trash away. Don't you want to clean out that storage room so I can haul some trash away, Autumn? Oh, I love that gift. So important. So important. The gift of administration. The gift of evangelist. The gift of pastor. The gift of celibacy. I recently took a gifts test. I scored a full-on zero on the gift of celibacy. I do not have it. And Jeff says amen. The gift of missionary and the gift of hospitality. That's a good place for us to start right there, a good list to start from. So let me tell you some important truths about spiritual gifts. And in the coming weeks and months, I hope to go deeper, that we could actually really talk in more depth about what some of these gifts look like so that we can discover which gifts we have. I've been praying for years that in our church, we would have every gift of the Holy Spirit present, but also being used. Because if you never open it up and you never use it, no one ever benefits. And so I have been praying that for years. Lord, you know, give us every gift that you have to give and help us to know how to use them. So I'm going to give you five or six important truths about spiritual gifts. Number one, spiritual gifts aren't about you. They're about serving God's family in love. Literally, they're about gifts of the Spirit being displayed through love. I'm going to prove it to you that spiritual gifts aren't about you. I told you that 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are about spiritual gifts. Now, this is a letter, right? 1 Corinthians is a letter that Paul was writing to a church in the city of Corinth. Jeff and I have been to that city. It's in Greece. Now, this church, they loved spiritual gifts. And actually, Paul was answering their questions because he even said, now, regarding your questions about spiritual gifts, that's how chapter 12 starts out. So obviously, they were having a back and forth, letters being written back and forth, and they were asking Paul to talk to them about spiritual gifts. They loved spiritual gifts. In fact, this church was probably the most messy church that Paul dealt with in his letters. where you could, where he's really having to rebuke some of them. He's, you know, he's having to correct them in different points. And one of the things he's having to bring some balance to is how they're using spiritual gifts. Okay. And so he takes all this time in chapter 12 to talk about different kinds of spiritual gifts, how all the gifts are valuable. And then he goes into the love chapter. Well, we call it the love chapter. Guess what? When you write a letter, do you put chapters and verses in your letter? Of course not, right? It's just one big letter. So neither did Paul. He didn't say chapter 12. He didn't know this was going to become canon, become scripture someday. And so here we find chapter 13 is what we call the love chapter. And then in 14, it says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And so he's going right on again with spiritual gifts. The whole thing, 12 through 14, three chapters on spiritual gifts. But it's like he pauses in the middle of teaching on spiritual gifts and says, now, when you're using spiritual gifts, it's got to be done in love. It's got to be done in love. And he even says, if you don't have love, you're like a sounding gong, you're a clanging cymbal. What is he saying? You could shout in tongues until people's ears are ringing and have 10 interpretations. But if you're not doing it for the good of those beside you and for the love of those around you, literally, I don't even like it. And he says, love is patient, love is kind. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He goes, when you're using your spiritual gifts, remember, be patient, be kind. This isn't about you. This is about the body. This is about my kids that are in the room. I gave you that gift not to make yourself feel great. I gave you that gift so you had something to bless my people with. So he says, be kind. Love is not jealous. It's not boastful or proud. He just got done saying that every part of the body, every spiritual gift is equally important. So what does he say next? So don't be jealous. Don't be jealous that one person is amazing at prophesying and you feel like you don't have that gift. Guess what? Don't be jealous. What you have is important. Utilize it. Use it. He says, don't be proud, don't be rude. One of the things they were doing, he even addressed it, is he said, you're interrupting each other in the middle of service. You're having like a prophecy shout-out match. I mean, this service was pretty crazy. Prophecy shout-out matches happening. I'll just shout my word from the Lord louder than you. And he's, what is he saying? Don't be rude. Guys! You know, it's Paul, when he's writing on spiritual gifts, he's not saying, okay, now I'm going to stop everything I was talking about, and I want to give you the perfect chapter to use at your weddings from this point forward. It's going to be called the love chapter. Now, it's okay. I think we even used it at our wedding. It's amazing at weddings. But he's talking about this is literally the context for spiritual gifts is love. And if we can remember that, verse 14 says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. In other words, you should go after spiritual gifts, should pursue spiritual gifts. You should ask the Lord to show you what he's given you, how you can use it, how you can glorify him and build up the body. And all of that is in the context of love. It's love on display. You know, I think that the Lord had Paul write this and emphasize it to us because God loves it when we love his kids, his other kids. Think about this. How many of you who have children, you just love it when people love your kids? When someone takes special attention of your children, doesn't that just like touch your heart in a special way? You know, in this house in James River Church, you guys all know some of our favorite missionaries, Daniel and Carla Grenz. If you're watching, Daniel and Carla, we love you. Well, they're so amazing, such great people. Well, Daniel Grenz just loves our oldest son, Malachi. And oftentimes, I mean, for several years in a row, on Malachi's birthday, Daniel will call him from wherever he's at in the world. He will have prayed for him the week before, asked the Lord for a word for him, and then like call him just to like build him up and encourage him. And last time we were in Kansas City, we stayed with Daniel and Carla at their home, and Daniel took Malachi out to coffee just to talk about the Lord with him and, you know, encourage him. I mean, I didn't think I could love the man more, but as soon as he did that, I was like, Daniel, Carla, you just went through the roof. I love you guys, right? Thank you for taking interest in my son. Thank you for building up my son. Think about this. That's how God feels about all of his children. The Lord would not give you a gift of prophecy so you can tear down those around you when you see all of their flaws. That's not even, like, that is not how he would want you to use the gift of prophecy. We shouldn't be afraid if there's a prophet in the room. Now, with the fear of the Lord, I get it, you know. And sometimes the Lord has us bring correction to each other. But how? In love? Even when we do that, he says, go one-on-one, privately. Talk to your brother. Try to correct them. Why? Because the Lord is always wanting his children, if he can, to be built up by the other believers in the church, built up and if at all possible, using every measure possible, operating in love to help us all grow in maturity. And so just like I love it when people love on my kiddos, God loves it when we love on his kiddos, on his children, which are our brothers and sisters. So he says, I'm giving you a spiritual gift. Every single one of my kids is going to have a special gift from me. Every one of them. I'm going to handpick it. Just be happy with what I give you. Believe me, I know what I'm doing. Don't be jealous of anyone else. Don't be kind. Don't be rude. Let love be your highest aim. And when you use this spiritual gift, just remember, I'm giving it to you so you can bless my other kids. So you can build up the church. So selfishness and self-centeredness will greatly impair the use of spiritual gifts. It really will. It just, it puts a sour taste in your mouth. Number two, important truths about spiritual gifts. I feel like each one of these are just so important. We could talk about them, but I just want to just let this be kind of an intro to the subject. Number two, only through God's people using the gifts given to them by God can the church truly look like Christ. Don't we want to look like Christ? I mean, that is our goal, right? To look like Christ. But only through spiritual gifts being used can we actually look like Christ. These gifts are actually called, in other versions and other ways to translate, manifestations of the Spirit. So the Spirit wants to manifest, he wants to reveal, he wants to show himself to the world. And so he gives portions of his strength to different people in the body of Christ. So God is a healer. So he gives to some the gift of healing because he wants his character, his glory to be manifested in the church. So he gives to some a gift of healing. Now, God is a leader, right? He's the ultimate leader. He knows that his church needs leadership. And so he gives to some the gift of leadership. It's a manifestation of who he is that he's giving to his church. So God is a God of order, right? I mean, he's the ultimate God of order. Look at the universe. So he gives to some the gift of administration. They're going to know how to bring this sucker into order from the beginning to the end. Admin all the way. Administration is so holy unto the Lord. So holy unto the Lord. Just try doing anything in this earth for the Lord without some sort of organization. It's holy to the Lord. So the Lord is... The Lord is helpful, right? He's always our help. It's one of his names even, is the Lord, the Holy Spirit's our helper. So what does he do? He gives some a special gift of helps where it's literally they're wired and they're anointed to see the need and to race over and to do it. And it brings them great joy. See, we never will look, we'll never really look like Christ until we utilize spiritual gifts and value them all. All of them, all of them, all of them. This is what Paul said to try to get his point across on this. In chapter 12, he says in verse 14, he's talking about spiritual gifts. He says, yes, the body has many different parts. He's talking about the human body, right? Not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell? Anything. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Everyone who's visual is trying to imagine me with only one eye, like a cyclops. How about only a left leg and one arm? How about no arm and just hands? No, we would say that's not a whole body. That's not how it was intended, right? And he says, yes, as there are many parts, but only one body, and the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. In all three of the major passages on spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, in all three of them, we see the illustration of the body come out. All three of them, the writer says, let me equate this to a physical body. You need every part. Every part's completely different. My eyes are completely different than my ears. They don't look at all the same, do they? Praise God, I have them both. My hand looks very different than my kneecap, but I'm so glad I have my knees, right? And it's not until you hurt a part of your body sometimes that you even appreciate that it's there, right? Try stubbing your big toe. I broke my big toe about a year or two ago. It was like black and blue all up my leg. I never really appreciated that my feet didn't hurt until they were like in so much pain. And I was like, ah! Right? Then all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I'm really grateful that normally I can just walk on this foot like normal, right? Every part of the body working together as a whole, that's how we reflect Christ. And every time spiritual gifts is mentioned, the three major times it's really taught on in scriptures, he says it's like a physical body. You need every part. And some people may say, well, I don't really like that speaking in tongues, but I love the gift of administration. I'm sorry, you know, we don't get to choose. If we just start saying, I don't want my heart, but I want my pancreas, we're in bad shape. We get really, really messed up soon. God is really wise. And he gave what gifts he knew we need. If we don't see how we need them, the problem is with us, not with God, right? So just to recap, only through God's people using these gifts can we truly look like Christ. Number three, church families who don't operate in their spiritual gifts are handicapped, maimed, and ineffective. And he says it right here, right straight. Do you really all want to be an eye? Really, everyone just wants the prophetic gift. I just want to see. I like the prophetic gift. I have the prophetic gift. I love it. It's one of my favorites, right? But my goodness, if the Lord didn't give it to you, no sweat. What gift did he give you, right? The most important gift is the one he gave you. That is the most important gift is the one he gave you. Take it, run with it, bring glory to Jesus for that gift that he gave you. We don't want to be a disabled body that can't move with the Lord. I can't bring him glory because we're not reflecting him, because we only let a few of the gifts operate and celebrate. I tell you, I've been part of different groups, Christian groups throughout the years that love certain gifts. And then almost, they wouldn't really say it, but they almost would say that other gifts are like, fleshly. Give me the gift of healing. But the gift of administration, you guys are probably like in the flesh half the time anyway. Really? Whoa. Because that's not what God says, right? Or, wow, the gift of teaching. We could put it on a pedestal. We love it. But the gift of helps, I'm like, wow. We'd never get anything done if God didn't give us the gift of helps. Every part of the body, hands, feet, legs, knees, heart, pancreas, every part we need. We want to celebrate. Which brings me to number four, which is actually every single gift is important. I got ahead of myself. Every single gift is important. We're talking about truths about spiritual gifts. And no gift should be discarded or ignored. Verse 22, I love when he's talking about the body and he's going through, do you all want to be a hand? No, just embrace what I give you. Be thankful. And then it says, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually most necessary. And he goes on to talk about this really kind of, to me, it's kind of humorous, right? It says in verse 22, some parts of the body that seem weakest and are and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts that we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care. He's literally saying there are some parts of your body that you would never bear to the world. And you actually pay the most attention to them by clothing them in special ways, always clothing them in special ways. So if you just think about like modesty, different parts of your body that you would make sure to be modest to cover. And he's like, okay, maybe these seem less honorable, but actually they almost need more attention because they're so important. They're so, so important. I'm going to give you an example. You know that in August, we're planning on doing another Gathering the Generals conference. We are believing this virus will be completely over by then. And we're so grateful in our city that we're seeing a consistent decrease of that. We haven't had an active case of COVID-19 reported in, what do you think, babe, 2.5 weeks maybe? Of course, we know there might be something out there, but we are glad that the tests that are being done are coming back negative. We're praising God for that. Anyway, so let's talk about this conference. We've done this before and been able to bless the city, but our state and even our region through this conference. This year we're having Pastor Steve and Sally Wilson from Day Spring Church in Missouri. They're going to come up, and Steve is going to be one of our speakers. Oh, it's going to be so good. What a treat, honestly. It's going to be amazing. But let's just think about the different gifts of the Holy Spirit that are utilized in putting on one conference. You know, the gifts that we probably celebrate that maybe in this illustration of the body that we would say the most honorable gifts, maybe the gifts that were up front, right? Like the worship team, the guest speakers, right? The person who may be facilitating a ministry time and maybe they're using the gift of healing or faith at that time to facilitate a move of the Spirit in the room. You know, those are our upfront gifts. And a lot of times someone might come to the conference, that's the only thing they see. Oh, the person on the stage, they're so blessed by the teaching. They're so blessed by the worship team and the presence of God and the ministry times. But how many of you know that is only a small part of what it takes to put on a conference, right? Now, those are the moments we're planning for. The moments when the Spirit is moving in the conference and his word is going out and people's lives are being touched and, oh, praise God. But what would that conference be like if there wasn't something called a conference planning team? That's how our conferences happen. We have a planning team, right? And those planning team members are using their gifts of administration, their gifts of leadership to put together a quality event. And that planning team then is helping to build out little mini teams like greeting team and registration and hospitality, right? And so there's the gifts of helps and service. What about the people running the soundboard? What would the conference be like, and how great would that worship team be if nobody could hear them? All of a sudden, the gift of helps, the gift of service seems pretty important, doesn't it? Of course it is. Extremely important. How about the hospitality, the gift of hospitality? What about the people or the person who's thinking about how can we best host these guest speakers so that they, when they come in, they're not having to worry about, oh my goodness, I'm so out of breath because my plane came in late and I didn't have a car arranged for me and I don't know where I'm going to stay tonight and the hotel hasn't been booked yet and okay, am I supposed to preach right now? No, we want to be hospitable, right? So we have people that have the gift of hospitality. They're thinking through, how can we host our guests well, right? We want to greet them at the door. We want to get hotel rooms for our guest speakers and our worship teams. And we want to pour out God's love through hospitality. There are so many gifts of the Spirit that go into the planning and the production of one conference. How tragic it would be if we only loved the teaching gift and we all felt like, eh, do I really have to serve? Do I have to serve? To serve the people, the person who's teaching or the person who's greeting, it's all serving. It's all serving. Whatever gift God gives you, you use it not for yourself, but for the benefit of others. We have to renew our mind to treasure every gift in the body of Christ. True story, the last of Gathering the Generals Conference, Randy Martinez, oh my goodness, it was like a blowout, amazing service. Randy Martinez, can't remember which night or which day, he was doing a ministry time, and he said, I really feel like the Lord's going to, like, he wants to impart some gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight to people. And so he was being super sneaky. I mean, almost conniving. Just kidding. We love him. But he didn't tell you what gift the Holy Spirit, he felt like the Holy Spirit was going to give at that moment. Instead, he gave you a sensation. He said, you know, if you're in the room and you just feel like a sensation, wasn't there one with a nose? A sensation on your nose, stand up. And amazingly, people were like, whoa, a few people, not everybody, right? But some people, they stood up and he says, oh, the Lord's giving you the gift of discerning of spirits. Okay, so that's how it was going. And at one point he says, if you feel like something heavy on your shoulders, like a blanket across your shoulders or heaviness on your shoulders, I want you to stand up. And at that moment I went, whew, like, I mean, I really felt this like heavy sensation of like a heavy blanket over my shoulders. I had no idea what was coming next. So I stood up. I was like, whoa, wow. And he says, God's giving you the gift of administration. And I had my hand up. I literally jerked my hand down and went, no, I don't want that. I don't want it. Now, that was a foolish reaction. I was, within even 60 seconds, I was working through it and repenting and going, help me, God, help me to receive this. This is the reason why I had that reaction. All my life, I've been adminning. The person in the room who can do the task gets given the task. And so it's like all my life, every ministry team I ever was part of, I just felt like so much administration would be put on me. And at times when I felt like it wasn't really the timing for it, my call at that moment, what I was supposed to be doing even, it just felt like everywhere he turned, it was admin. Okay, and because I had a natural ability to be able to put some things in order, get things done. Anyway, but I can tell you now, I did not have the spiritual gift of administration. I had a natural ability, some natural ability to do administration. And so I quickly, I'm like, God, you know what I need. You know what I need more than I know what I need. I would have liked that healing thing that you were giving away. Like, that sounded really fun to me. I would have liked my nose to have got hot so I could get a discernment of spirits there. I'm just teasing around. But you know, I mean, so I like for days I was actually repenting and going, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it, Lord. I receive it. You know, do you know my life has completely been changed by the Lord giving me the gift of administration. Administration is no longer a strenuous burden to me, but even at times a life-giving process where I'm like, I can see the beginning from the end and what needs to happen, and there's life on it, and there's life. And within, you know, within months of that conference, 6 months maybe, within 6 months probably of that conference, I found myself working for the national, being on the national team for Awaken the Dawn in an admin role hidden away, putting basically a lot of their systems in order so that we could then onboard hundreds and hundreds of people to do tent events, worship and prayer events across our nation. It was a joy. It was life-giving. I was able to see it as being part of something huge, being able to have my hand almost in every tent across America that was doing 50 hours of nonstop worship without me physically being there. It was like God gave me this gift through being able to set it into order and plan how people were going to get, all these tent leaders were going to get trained and how they were going to get resources. It was like I got to like be there, right? I got to have a part in that fruit, a gift. It was a total gift from the Lord. Total. I'm so grateful I got to do that because he gave me the gift of administration. I say that because every gift is important. Every gift. And I feel like I understand it more now than I have ever understood that in all my life. And I'm trusting that a year from now, I'll be able to say that statement again as God continues to unpack the value of the gifts, the beautiful gifts he's given to us. Let's tell you one last story. I think we all, most of us, can really appreciate the gift of evangelist. This is a gift. My husband really flows in well, and many in the church do. And certainly you don't have to have the gift of evangelism to be part of the harvest. The Lord said, go into all the world. He didn't say, hey, evangelists, only those that have the gift of evangelism, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the rest of you, just congregate in your churches. Get a little comfortable. Bless each other. No. We're all called to go into the world and preach the gospel. But I think evangelists are going to be especially good at it, honestly. They're going to be a little better at it, probably. They're going to see some fruit. They're going to feel like, oh, extra life maybe when they're doing it. You know, that's kind of how it works, I think. So we love the gift of evangelism. We associate gift of evangelism with people getting saved. But let me tell you what a gift of hospitality can do. My parents have, who I think usually watch, so I just want you to say, Dallas and Kay McKinley, I adore you. I owe you everything. I love you so much. My parents have an amazing gift of hospitality. My mom is like sweetness on steroids. She oozes it. She is such a mother to so many, so loving. My dad he has the gift of gab. He just loves to sit and talk with people. And they just open their home very easily to people. It's not hard for them. With little to no notice, they can invite someone to stay with them for 6 months. We're not talking about a night or just like a day. But they've had people who've lived with them for a year, for months. And they also have a gift of giving. And so their resources, they just easily surrender their resources to others. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And many times as the years have unfolded, I have seen them take in foreign exchange students. Now, if my memory is serving me well, I don't even know if they ever signed up for the foreign exchange student program, but somehow they kept coming to them. Foreign exchange students. We're talking like they didn't sign up to be a foreign exchange student host home. The kids would get to South Dakota. They'd be in a home. It wouldn't be working out well. Somehow they find my parents. They meet my parents somewhere. And my mom goes into mothering mode. Honey, I'll take care of you. I love you. You're just wonderful. You're just great. And dad's like, oh, they could just come and live with us. And before you know it, here's the girl from Kazakhstan living with them. Here's a girl from Germany living with them. Here's a girl from China living with them. We're talking, this hasn't happened just one time. And, oh, here's a troubled girl in the youth group that was having, you know, problems at home, and she's moved right in. They had several girls living with them at one point, teenage girls. And how many of those kids, like, experienced the Lord? Mom and dad just took them with them to conferences, youth conferences, to places where the Spirit's moving, on vacation. Just, they're just part of the family. And you could see how, before your eyes, how a gift of hospitality and a gift of giving, like, opened up the human heart to the gospel. I don't think they have the gift of evangelism. I don't think that they would say they have the gift of evangelism. But I know the Lord used the gift of hospitality to send, to spread seed into the nations of the earth through them opening up their home. If we could see God's very special gifts as he sees them, I think it would blow us away. And that is the journey I'm praying for each of us to go on. No matter where you're at, whether you feel like you know quite a bit about spiritual gifts, or whether you feel like this is maybe the first sermon you've ever heard on it in your entire life, this is a process of discovery and development that never ends, that continues for the rest of our lives. So that means it's really great for us to stay novices. It'll be really great for you if you can keep from being an expert. Now, I don't mean we want to become really good at using the gifts God's given us, but if we can keep that childlike attitude of, there's more. Like, Lord, I know that there's more out there. I want to see it for what it is through your eyes, and I want to bring glory to your name and to bless your people through what you have given us, each one of us. And I'm praying for you, James River Church, I am praying for you that you will discover every gift the Lord has given you, that you will be able to develop those gifts, and that you'll use them for the glory of God to serve God's people in a spirit of love. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, we just love you. We're so grateful that you saw fit to give us special gifts. You didn't have to do that. Salvation itself is the greatest gift we could ever ask for, and we could never deserve it. And Lord, on top of that, you give us special manifestations of the Spirit, aspects of your own being, things that you're really good at that you actually give to us. Lord, that's amazing. And we just say, God, we all your gifts, every single one, the ones we understand and the ones that we have no idea about, they're all valuable. They're all important. And Lord, we want them, every one of them, to be at work in full operation in our church so we can really look like you. So Lord, raise up the feet and the hands and the eyes and the ears. Raise up the mouths and the different body parts, Lord, you know, as you see fit, as each gift may correlate to a different body part. Lord, raise them up. Lord, let fear be broken off of people. And God, we just want to enter into use of these gifts in a spirit of love and a spirit of faith. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you all. See you next week.